This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Morning, everyone. If you plan on testifying today, please sign in the back. Make sure your phone is on silent. And we will begin. Let's call the roll, Madam Secretary.
Representative Bartling.
Here.
Bolin.
Here.
Hager.
Here.
Holly.
Here.
Langer.
Here.
Mickelson.
Here.
Munsterman. Solem.
Here.
Stevens.
Here.
Virtue.
Here.
Wink.
Here.
Westra. Gush.
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting. Moved by Hager, seconded by Solem. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Minutes are approved. Let's get into our agenda. We've got four items up. The first is an act to provide for the collection of sales taxes from certain remote sellers, to establish certain legislative findings, and to declare an emergency. Senate Bill 106 will take proponent testimony at this time.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Roger Hunt, State Representative, District 25, the eastern and northern portions of Minnehaha County. I'd like to begin my comments by a brief overview of Senate Bill 106. The general purpose of Senate Bill 106 is basically to try to do something in the way of taking care of the internet sales tax situation that for years and years we've been unable to get any sort of action out of Congress. And so this basically bill, Senate Bill 106, would utilize the court system, the judiciary system, all the way up to the Supreme Court, to basically obtain some relief from the fact that we've been unable to collect internet sales tax from internet retailers. The bill is basically directed towards two group of internet retailers. One group that would have gross proceeds that exceed $100,000, and another group would be any retailer, internet retailer, that in essence would be involved in 200 or more separate transactions. These are the two groups that we're looking at. The basic plan of Senate Bill 106, it begins with the bringing of a statutory judgment action. Statutory judgment action, I know you're probably all familiar with it, but just to refresh your memory, is where a party goes into the court and basically you don't have the typical trial, but the party asks for a declaratory judgment to decide a particular issue. And the declaratory judgment has the advantage of moving things along relatively quickly in order to get a decision on some legal question. The Circuit Court of the State of South Dakota obviously would be the first place where this declaratory action would be brought. And as it indicates in Section 2, the bill basically says that the action will be brought in Circuit Court as expeditiously as possible, for the reason, obviously, that we need a decision on how the tax, how to tax the internet sales. The idea would be that the Circuit Court would rule on the declaratory judgment, and quite honestly, whether the state would win or lose on that, it would then move to the South Dakota Supreme Court. And the idea then would be, regardless of the decision of the United States or of the South Dakota Supreme Court, it would be moved to the Eighth Circuit, and then hopefully a writ of certiorari could be issued by the Supreme Court, and then this matter would go before the United States Supreme Court for a decision. The filing of a declaratory judgment would operate as an injunction during the pendency of the action. While the declaratory judgment is ongoing, there would be an injunction, in essence, prohibiting any state entity from enforcing the obligations or the material in Section 1 of the Act against any taxpayer who does not affirmatively consent or otherwise remit the sales tax on a voluntary basis. The decision, as I said, would go from circuit court, or the case would go from circuit court to the state Supreme Court. There is no obligation to remit the sales tax required by this act retroactively. This is all prospectively. Next, no claim can be granted on the basis that the taxpayer lacked a physical presence in the state. And that's been the key issue in the past. Has there been a nexus or a physical presence of some sort in the state? The next thing I would like to take note of is the fact that on page 4 of the bill, the legislature makes certain findings. Now, we don't always make findings when we introduce legislation in the South Dakota State Legislature. But in this particular case, in order to help lay the groundwork for the decision by the United States Supreme Court, we feel that findings are most appropriate. For example, the first finding, that the legislature finds that the inability to effectively collect the sales or use tax from remote sellers who deliver tangible personal property, property transferred electronically or services directly into South Dakota, is seriously eroding the tax basis of this state. The second finding was the loss of that revenue is especially serious in South Dakota because the state doesn't have any income tax. And, of course, we really don't have any inheritance tax either, but we have no income tax, which basically obviously contributes to problems when we're budgeting for the state's interest. And if this continues year after year, as it has been doing for 10 or 15 years now, it's basically going to continue to erode our financial and tax basis in South Dakota to the detriment of all of our people and our businesses, etc. Remote sellers who make a substantial number of deliveries into or have gross revenues from South Dakota benefit extensively from this state's market, just like our local retailers benefit from our market. But our local retailers have to collect the sales tax. That puts them at a disadvantage against the internet sales. Finding number 7 notes that Justice Kennedy recently recognized in his concurrence in Direct Marketing Association versus Broll, the United States Supreme Court should reconsider. This is Justice Kennedy now. He's saying we should reconsider the Quill case, basically, Quill versus North Dakota, and the doctrine that prevents states from requiring remote sellers to collect sales tax. And as the foregoing findings have made clear, this argument is growing stronger and the cause more urgent with time. When Quill was decided, we didn't have all of the electronic means. We didn't have all of the internet sales that we had. And that no doubt led to at least part of the United States Supreme Court decision in denying the taxation of those internet sales. And as Justice Kennedy pointed out, this does mean that we should reconsider. He strongly recommended that the Supreme Court reconsider this issue in light of the change in how we do business, in light of the way that electronic sales. Furthermore, we made the finding here in Senate Bill 106 that expeditious review is necessary and appropriate. There are a lot of examples of how the South Dakota legislature has added findings to its legislation. I've got a 3 or 4 page list of various sections of our law that basically make findings. So although it's somewhat unusual, in this particular case, and especially because we're going after a declaratory judgment, we need to lay, as I say, the background and some of our arguments out in Senate Bill 106. Just to repeat a little of the history that we've experienced relative to seeking to tax internet sales. We need a favorable ruling from the United States Supreme Court, and we need it as soon as we can obtain it. As a result, for the last 15 years, there have been a number of groups that have tried to work with Congress in order to get Congress to basically reverse Quill versus North Dakota. In addition to that, NCSL has had a team working for probably 15 or more years, trying to get Congress to move off of dead center and basically pass a law to allow this. But Congress has not seen fit, and as more time has gone by, Congress seems more and more reluctant to basically provide the legislation that has been requested. So we're left with the alternative of going to the courts. Again, the inability to effectively collect legally owed sales taxes from remote sellers is significantly eroding the sales tax base of the state of South Dakota, causing revenue losses and imminent harm to the state through the loss of critical funding for state and local services. Those revenues must be made up by law-abiding taxpayers through higher tax rates, when obviously the internet retailers are not paying us the taxes that are owed, then our own taxpayers, our citizens of the state of South Dakota, have to pick up that load. Collecting all sales tax that are legally owed to South Dakota provides the opportunity to lower the tax rates for all law-abiding taxpayers. It's important to note that Senate Bill 106 does not create a new tax on anyone. Basically, it's complying with existing tax. We're not trying to, as I say, create any sort of a new tax with Senate Bill 106. Senate Bill 106 recognizes that the current Supreme Court precedent does not allow South Dakota to require remote sellers to collect legally owed sales taxes. Thus, the legislation is wisely looking forward, it would not only require remote sellers to collect taxes after the Supreme Court affirms that the South Dakota authority requires them. South Dakota has a very simple tax system. Most goods and services are subject to tax. South Dakota has adopted the streamlined sales tax and use agreement, which I think is an important indicator of how we've been working as requested by Congress to develop a streamlined sales tax agreement. You know, we need to know whether chewing gum is food or is it candy. We need to know what products fall in what categories so that when the tax software for the computer is put together, they'll know what is in food category or other categories, if you would. I think that the remote sellers clearly do not comply with the law today because they want to gain an advantage over our Main Street retailers, not because they cannot apply. The software is there. The Streamlined Sales Committee agreement is there. It's all doable and workable. Because this is really a constitutional law challenge, not necessarily a tax issue, we recommend that the case be designed in a way that presents the constitutional question in an optimal way, including a minimum of ancillary issues that could arise from a traditional retrospective facing tax assessment case. Positioning the case through a forward-looking declaratory judgment also helps to address concerns that we know that the United States Supreme Court would have about remote sellers that could face unexpected tax liability from a retrospective case. So essentially, what we're saying is we need to go forward on this as a constitutional matter. We don't want to have a trial and sue some particular internet sales company and then have to bring a suit to prove they hadn't paid the taxes and the taxes were due and all of those ancillary issues that you can get into that could mean 10 or more years of litigation. But using this declaratory judgment route, we're hopeful that we can basically reduce this to 2 to 4 years to get it to the Supreme Court. I think you should be aware of the fact that we have had a number of Washington constitutional lawyers, and we have a law firm in D.C. We have the Retailers Industrial Leadership Association, and we've had the advantage of their counsel. They've been before the Supreme Court numerous times. Those attorneys have looked at this bill, Senate Bill 106. They have spent time with our Department of Revenue, learning what our tax system is and how it works and so on. And they are convinced that the time is right to do this. And they're convinced that South Dakota is probably the best state to do this because of our factual situation. That factual situation being primarily that of South Dakota is so dependent upon sales tax. And if we have people outside of this state that are in essence selling products to people inside this state, they need to be part of that sales tax collection effort. We depend upon sales tax for our education, for a large share of our state budget. And so Senate Bill 106, in my opinion, is definitely a step in the right direction. It's going to move us forward as fast as we can in this entire area. You have all been approached by your Main Street retailers. When are you going to do something about leveling the playing field for the collection of sales tax? Those out-of-state internet people are not collecting the tax. We local people have to collect the tax. They can offer the clients a better deal than we can because we have to advertise with sales tax and we have to collect the sales tax. So our people have been in a disadvantage for 10 or 15 years. I believe that it's now time to basically level the playing field and allow the people in South Dakota to pay a lesser amount of tax and have the out-of-state internet retailers collect and pay to the state of South Dakota their share of the sales tax. With that, Mr. Chairman, I believe there may be a few more opponents. I would stand by for any questions you might have.
Proponents? Further proponents on Senate Bill 106?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. You had me nervous there for a second. I thought we were still in proponents. I'm not too sure by the time we're done, we may feel differently. Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I think Representative Hunt did a fine job of kind of surmising a little bit of the background on this issue. I just want to give you a bit of our background. And I know you've heard probably over the last few weeks from several of our retailers around the state. And you've heard about this issue for the last, 25 years, I'm going to guess. Our organization has a long storied history with regard to the Main Street fairness issue. In fact, if you go back to the very origins of our association in 1897, merchants at that time formed what is now the South Dakota Retailers Association to make sure that everyone played by the same rules. You'll notice when you drive past our building across the street, the statue of Governor Vesey, who prior to becoming governor was a merchant and one of the 9 founding members of our association. He, like many of the merchants that have since followed him, fought for all merchants to, in fact, play by those same rules and give back to their communities. We'd like to thank Representative Hunt, as well as others, for bringing this issue and the issue of sales tax fairness, which is something that, frankly, is far too long in coming. For more than two decades, retailers have been fighting to stay competitive with one arm tied behind their back. Since the birth of online commerce, local retailers that serve as the backbone of our downtowns and our main streets here in South Dakota have been unfairly punished with a tax code that gives their online competitors a government-sponsored tax advantage. Every day, the stores in our communities are required to collect the state sales tax, while out-of-state competitors such as Amazon and Overstock get a free pass. The result is obvious: an automatic price advantage that puts local job creators at a distinctive competitive disadvantage. While every retailer deserves a level playing field, more is at stake than the fate of an individual storefront. When retailers in our local downtowns close, foot traffic drops for others. Payroll, sales tax, those all drop and the jobs diminish. The cumulative effect impacts more than just the storefront. Our communities take a hit, including the public services funded by a local tax base. It is our local retailers that are charitably giving back to their communities, and the result is a downward spiral that results in fewer services and a weaker economy. Senate Bill 106 enhances current law by making it clear that South Dakota expects all sellers to comply with the state sales tax law. It does not create a new tax on anyone. And while we understand that this legislation may take considerable time to implement, as we know that many online retailers may not be compliant, it doesn't raise taxes. It simply ensures that all who do business in South Dakota play by the same rules of the road. A handful of online sellers have opposed South Dakota's legislative efforts to restore basic free market competition for retailers. In an effort to preserve their special tax treatment, they've made a number of outlandish claims, including that it's extremely burdensome for out-of-state online sellers to collect the sales tax. The same computing power allowing consumers and merchants to buy and sell goods from a smartphone has the wherewithal to calculate the correct sales tax. Software to collect and remit these taxes has existed for more than a decade, including by thousands of online retailers who voluntarily collect sales tax via the streamlined system, including here in South Dakota. It's time for our Main Street businesses that play by the same rules and simply want a system giving everyone a fair shot to compete have their voices heard. Modern commerce has unprecedented power to consumers to search for the best products, compare prices, and do business with companies who have earned their trust and loyalty. This is a good thing for the future of retail and for our consumers, as it will require retailers of all sizes to compete for customers. Competition shouldn't involve a government tax policy subsidizing a select few with special tax treatment. South Dakota retailers aren't afraid of competition. They just believe that their competitors shouldn't benefit from a government tax policy subsidizing a select few with special tax treatment. Senate Bill 106 will further allow our own retailers' ability to finally compete on a level playing field, which is why the South Dakota Retailers Association asks for you to respectfully consider this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Any other proponents in Senate Bill 106?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen with the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. This is the perfect time to pass this bill. The Census Bureau releases a report on e-commerce, and I was looking at the fourth quarter 2015 report, and it said for that year, e-commerce was 7% of all retailing. And it's growing 2-3% a year. We get much further down the road, somebody's going to say, you should have done this before it became truly a third of all retail sales. You have this window to act, and you should. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Further proponents, Senate Bill 106? Seeing none, any opponents in Senate Bill 106? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal. Go to questions by the committee. If there are any, are there any questions?
Question.
Representative Mickelson.
I'm supportive of the legislation. I have a question. The
couldn't we do something with our agency law and all the people that deliver the goods? Couldn't we establish jurisdiction over these online retailers through the people that deliver their goods? That's my question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I think that the problem, and we had asked Department of Revenue about that question as well, and had hoped that maybe they'd have a representative here, but I think the answer to the question is the fact that the delivery service, let's say, I think you're talking
Representative about... Representative Hunt, you do have somebody behind you, I think, who's willing to help answer that question.
Okay. Let's let her take a shot at it.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Allison Jarris. I'm with the Department of Revenue. The question that's being asked is in regards to a nexus. So we have to start with what is the presence? Most of your online retailers are delivering by a common carrier. Might be UPS, could be the Postal Service, could be Yellow Freight. And those individuals who do that type of delivery, they are not delivering as a salesperson for the company. So for instance, when you order from Amazon, most of those products are going to come to you by the Postal Service or by UPS. They're simply a delivery mechanism. They don't create the presence for Amazon. We would need to be able to show that Amazon is delivering with their own salespeople or their own vehicles and their own trucks. And part of that is a result of the Quill decision that was made in the Supreme Court decision that came out. So if they don't have a physical presence, they don't have their own delivery trucks here, it's just common carrier, we cannot claim that they have to deliver to us. The second piece of that is we tax based on the gross receipts. I pay Amazon for the product that I purchased. Amazon's the one I have to tax. I can't get that tax from UPS or the Postal Service or the freight delivery company.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, I get all that. My only question would be, why don't we just include in this bill a provision that said, for purposes of collecting sales tax from an online retailer, the state of South Dakota's agency law determines that a common carrier creates nexus for the internet retailer. I mean, since that's what we're trying to do, why don't we add that? It's just another bullet for us.
Mr. Chair,
mm-hmm.
I would have to defer that to one of our legal counsel to answer that for sure, to see if that would work. I don't know that it would not work.
Thank you. Any Representative Holly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hunt, just a quick question, please. I do support the legislation, and I think it's far past time that something gets done on this, but this is headed to a court case. That's our intent, is to force a court case. We haven't addressed what would you expect would be the cost to the state of South Dakota for litigation.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I don't know what it would cost if you need any sort of an exact figure. There is the potential of using or of creating a sub-fund in our litigation fund, as we have done for a couple of other issues that were presented to the state of South Dakota. And what I mean by all of that is we believe that there's probably a number of people out there, especially retailers and maybe retail association, that would be willing to contribute some money. And if it were put into the litigation fund as a subfund, call it the internet sales tax subfund or whatever, there would be a way, we feel, of raising some money. There are a lot of groups out there that are interested in this issue, and so we also think that there may be some groups out there that might be willing to help with providing maybe legal services or maybe background information in some way assisting in the lawsuit. I have no way, I don't know if anybody could know how much money it's going to cost, but one of the things that for sure, following the declaratory judgment route is going to be a lot less expensive than if we in some way filed an action against one of these internet providers and then had to deal with the trial, witnesses, expert testimony, and so on and so forth. Those trials, full-blown trials, are always going to be more expensive because all the additional costs. This approach is going to keep the costs down. I just can't give you a reasonable figure.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Representative Hunt. We'll open up the committee discussion and or action. Representative Bolin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move to pass Senate Bill 106.
Motion is due pass by Bolin, seconded by Solem. Comments on your motion?
Again, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've heard some very good testimony today, and I'd just like to say that the merchants in the small towns that I represent, Elk Point, Alcester, Beersford, Canton, and I could list more, would be fully supportive of this legislation, and I urge the committee to adopt it. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Seeing none, the motion is due pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bartling.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
We have 12 yea, one excused.
Senate Bill 106 goes to the floor of the due pass. Is there a motion for consent? Any objection to consent?
Yes.
There is one objection. Okay. For the record, that was Representative Munsterman. All right. Moving on. Our agenda today, we have Senate Bill 24, an act to prohibit the sale of fetal body parts and to provide a penalty therefore. We'll take proponent testimony at this time. Welcome back to the witness stand, Mr. Attorney General. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Marty Jackley, South Dakota Attorney General. Under current South Dakota law, specifically STCL 34-23A-17, it is already illegal to sell or transfer fetal remains with some limited exceptions. The law does allow donations of fetal tissue or organs in cases of spontaneous abortion and with the mother's consent. SB 24 proposes to do a couple of things. One is it clarifies that existing law to include, quote, tissue, organ, or body part, end quote. And the second most important thing is it places a penalty on certain conduct. Right now, while it is illegal to do that conduct in South Dakota, there's no penalty associated with that. Under South Dakota law, there's a normal misdemeanor penalty when there's none placed in a statute, but there are exceptions in that statute, and this particular area is accepted out. So in other words, while it's illegal, there is no consequence for that illegal action. So what Senate Bill 24 does is it proposes that when it's knowing and it's when it's for consideration, that it makes it a Class 6 felony. The reason it's proposed as a Class 6 felony is it's based upon the partial birth abortion statute. I think it's serious conduct, and it's something that should be addressed. I would close with whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. I think everybody should agree that here in South Dakota, we should not have the knowing and for-profit sale of fetal body parts. And secondly, if we're going to make something illegal in South Dakota, we should make it clear what the consequences are if you violate that statute. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll make myself available for any questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you, sir. I see we have a lot of proponents signed up, so let's do the next one. Further proponents, Senate Bill 24.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Debbie Pease with South Dakota Right to Life. We support Senate Bill 24 and are grateful to the Attorney General for bringing it forward. In 1984, Congress passed and President Reagan signed into law the National Organ Transplant Act. This law states, "It shall be unlawful for any person to knowingly acquire, receive, or otherwise transfer any human organ for valuable consideration." We certainly encourage people to be organ donors, but not for profit. Countless lives have been saved and enhanced because of the generosity of those willing to be donors. But according to the website of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, quote, the field of organ and tissue donation and transplantation is one of the most regulated areas of healthcare today, end quote. Why is this practice so regulated? Why don't we allow the sale of human organs? While allowing financial compensation for donors could greatly increase the number of organs available for transplant, as it does in Iran, there is such a potential for abuse that nearly every other country in the world has outlawed the practice. Allowing compensation for fetal body parts is subject to the same abuses, and we applaud the Attorney General for clarifying the definitions of this practice and for making it a felony. We believe Senate Bill 24 protects women from the inherent conflict of interest of abortion providers attempting to maximize financial benefits through harvesting fetal body parts. It sends a clear message to those who would consider this practice. They are not welcome in South Dakota. Thank you for the opportunity to share our support of Senate Bill 24. We ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Pease. Further proponents, Senate Bill 24.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Cindy Flackle, representing Concerned Women for America Legislative Action Committee. We, too, support SB 24. We also thank the Attorney General for bringing it forward. Please support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents, Senate Bill 24.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Travis Benson, lobbyist for the Catholic Diocese of Sioux Falls. We support this clarification and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Paul Bashan with the State's Attorneys Association, and we support Senate Bill 24. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Dale Barcher, registered lobbyist with the Family Heritage Alliance Action. We believe that this bill, SB 24, simply enhances the culture of life here in the great state of South Dakota. And we support it. Ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Senate Bill 24. Seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal. Go to questions by the committee. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we'll go to committee discussion and or action. Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move do pass.
Second. Motion is do pass by Representative Hager, seconded by Langer. Comments on your motion?
Well, I think the proponents, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the proponents have made a good case for reinforcing our laws here in South Dakota relative to this issue, and so I just ask for your support.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion is due pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bartling. Bolin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Howley.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
12 yay, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 24 goes to the floor of the due pass. Motion for consent. Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 24 will be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you, Representative Bolin. We're going to move on to Senate Bill 1, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the Executive Board of the Legislative Research Council. Due proponent testimony, Senate Bill 1.
Good
morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the State Affairs Committee, Representative Dean Wink, Representative District 29, Meade, Butte, and part of Bennington County. As was stated in the title, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the Executive Order of the Legislative Research Council. The first in Section 1, it addresses the members of the Executive Board, and that will remain the same. It'll be 15 members, 4 from the Senate, 5 members from the House, 6 ex officio members made up of the, in the Senate, the President Pro Tem, the Majority Leader, and the Minority Leader in the House. It'll be the Speaker, the Majority Leader, and Minority Leader. The new language in Section 1 addresses a situation that came up this last year when the President Pro Tem position moved over to the Majority Leader, and so there was a void. And so this is basically the meat of this is just to address that situation. And in Section in 1, it will be addressed by the basically the Majority Caucus will doesn't say elect, but it'll be in charge of replacing the President Pro Tem until the full body of the Senate can elect a new President Pro Tem. Section 2, it addresses the chair and the vice chair. That will remain the same. The chair will be the Speaker of the House the first day of session in odd-numbered years, and the President Pro Tem will be the vice chair and vice versa in even-numbered years. So it's just basically a clarification on a situation that came up this last year and how to address it. So I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Wink. Any other proponents? Senate Bill 1. Seeing none, any opponents on Senate Bill 1? Seeing no opponents, are there any questions by the committee? It seems pretty self-explanatory what we're doing here. Seeing no questions, go to action by the committee. Representative Mickelson.
I'll move to pass.
Motion is do pass by Representative Mickelson, seconded by Langer. Any comments?
Good bill.
Any additional comments? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bartling.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
12 yea, 1 excuse.
Senate Bill 1 goes to the floor of the do pass. Motion is for consent by Langer, seconded by Wink. Any objections? Seeing none, it will be placed on the consent calendar. Takes us to our final bill on the agenda. Last but not least, I know a lot of people are waiting to hear this one. Senate Bill 6, this is an act to revise certain performance security requirements for public improvement contracts. Ms. Honeywell, take it away.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Christy Honeywell. I am the state engineer in the Bureau of Administration, and I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 6. For public improvement projects, all contractors are required to furnish a performance security before starting work in the amount of that contract. These bonds do a couple of things for us. We can use them to hire someone if the contractor doesn't complete the work or if they do not pay their subcontractors. Senate Bill 6 amends the statute in two different ways. First, it cleans up two conflictive statutes by repealing the one that requires the state to waive these bonds for contracts less than $50,000. However, the other statute remains that allows all governmental units, that would be state, locals, and school districts, to waive these payment and performance bonds under the same amount, but doesn't require it. Secondly, the bill allows governmental units to waive these performance securities if the project is an emergency as defined by law. Emergency procurements are allowable if there exists a threat to human health, welfare, or safety, or for other urgent and compelling reasons. As I mentioned before, the statute requires that the security be in place prior to that contractor starting work. Because of the time that it takes to get a legally proper bond in place, this can be impractical in the case of some emergencies. This addition is permissive and will allow us to complete an emergency project in a timely manner. So because of these reasons, I would ask for your yes vote on Senate Bill 6, and I will stand by for questions.
Very, very good. Any further proponents? Senate Bill 6. Seeing none, any opponents? No opponents. Again, we'll waive rebuttal. Go to questions by the committee if there are any questions. No questions. We'll go to committee discussion or action. Representative Stevens.
Motion is due pass by Representative Stevens. He's very excited about supporting this bill, seconded by Solem. Let's hear some comments on this motion.
You know, of all the testimony this morning, I really appreciated the in-depth that the sponsor went into this bill. She spent a lot of time in my office discussing each and every line of the bill, and after that, I felt compelled to move this bill along.
Thank you very much. Further comments on the motion? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bartling.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Westra. Excused. Gosh.
Aye.
We have 12 yay, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 6 gets a due pass. Motion for consent by Langer, seconded by Solem. Any objection? It will be placed in the consent calendar. That concludes our agenda. I entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Westra so he can get his per diem, and seconded by Mickelson. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.